May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, always be acceptable in your sight, Lord, our strength and our salvation. The apostles are back from their missionary trip. You can imagine their excitement as they got back to Jesus. The air must have been filled with energy as they excitedly told Jesus and each other the things that they had seen and they had done. Some of them probably left Jesus on their missionary trip, doubting that they would be able to do anything other than teach Jesus' message. But once they began to anoint people with oil and to cast out demons, their eyes were opened. Not only had they taught Jesus' message that the kingdom of God was at hand, but they actually participated in making it come true in the moment. Jesus, seeing their excitement, hearing their news, and caring for them deeply, invited them to get away from it all and to spend some quiet time with him. They could debrief, take some time to reflect on what they had done, and to rest and recreate and have some recreation. But that didn't happen. Even with Jesus' best intentions, getting into a boat to travel to a deserted place, people still followed them. The people were in need of the good news that he brought into their lives. And as Jesus says, the people were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus had compassion for them. In those few short words, Jesus had compassion for them. We see the summary of how God sees the world and how we are to live in the world that God has created. The term compassion is explicitly used for Jesus' attitude towards humanity in at least 8 different times in the gospel stories. And it is implicitly there in the entire witness of his life, including the healing ministry that is so prominent in our story today. Jesus had compassion. So what does the word compassion really mean? To have compassion for someone is not to have pity for them or to have empathy for them. Compassion means to suffer together. Pity and empathy are emotions that can be managed from afar. It really doesn't need action on our part. But compassion calls us into action. When we have compassion, we are drawn into someone else's life, and that requires an action on our part. Among emotion researchers, it is defined as the feeling that arises when we are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. You do not have compassion, really, unless you suffer with those whom you identify with. The precondition for compassion is that your heart is moved to be present and to relieve the suffering of another person. Jesus is teaching us that at the very center of our faith is compassion for one another. Jesus' compassion for the crowd, sheep without a shepherd, is not it is the mark of his identification with humanity. It will not achieve its full expression until Golgotha, when he has gone all the way, identifying with not only our lot, but in his life and death and birth. For us, the statement Jesus had compassion for the crowds is not just a statement about a good, generous, and loving human being, Jesus of Nazareth. It is a statement about God, the source of our lives and all life. God has compassion for us and for the world in which we live. We have not always been able to see this. Throughout our history, and even in our own lives, there are times when we see God as judgmental, angry, wrathful, vindictive. In their book, Good Goats, Healing Our Image of God, Dennis Lynn, Sheila Fabricant-Lynn, and Matthew Lynn talk about how we have been taught about a God who will punish us if we do not do what God wants. How if we are bad in any way, shape, or form, God will punish us. This being bad encompasses everything from who we love, our actions, and even our thoughts. They tell a wonderful story about a person going to visit their favorite uncle every weekend. They spend the day with the uncle, having a good time celebrating, have a wonderful meal, but when it is time to leave, the uncle takes them down into the basement and shows them all of the images of hell. And as they are standing in the middle of all this horror, the uncle says to them, "If you do not come back next weekend, this is where you will end up." We may have moved on and healed our images of God to be one of compassion instead of anger, but there is still that niggling feeling that we have to do the right thing to get into heaven at the end of our lives. We have been taught that we have to do the right things to be loved by God. But the gospel story today tells it differently. The story about Jesus having compassion for the crowd shows us that no matter who we are, what our life is like, we are loved by God. We see in Jesus' actions how everyone who encountered him were healed, given dignity, showed that they mattered in the eyes of God. This is a radically moving image of God. It takes our perception of a God from being out there, out beyond us, an abstract idea, to being in here, in our hearts, in our lives, and in our world. We have to ask ourselves if we have grasped this radical image of a compassionate God who is so deeply concerned about our lives and the life of the world around us. And also, if we are ready to live out that compassion in our world that so desperately needs to see the compassion of God lived out every day.